Epilogue. Cascada. Every day, usually at dawn, Nana slipped out of the palace and trod down the hill to the courtyard of the star. She would disperse the foodstuffs she and Bessie had cadged from the nobleman's waste to the many hungry and homeless folk who gathered near the fountain. She would pull out any leaves or debris that had fallen into the pool, sit on its edge, listen to the water's music, and pray for Cerulea's safe return. The last few weeks she had been plagued by a nameless dread, waking often in the night and unable to fall back asleep. Each morning when she reached the fountain, its unceasing flow soothed her, though Nana kept worrying that the water arced less high each year since Cressa's death. This morning, the water sparkled in the sun. Closing her eyes a moment, Nana, fatigued, could almost fancy that she heard voices in the tumbling water. She heard her own voice, pledging to Queen Cressa so long ago, "I will be waiting right here," and a melodic voice murmuring in return. Nana strained to decipher the words. Perchance her overtired mind played tricks on her, but she thought she heard the following.
"Thou hast proven to be rare amongst mortals. I choose thee as my servant and my agent."
A gust of wind rained fountain droplets on her white cap in a quick patter. A man's voice startled Nana from her joyous reverie. "Why, 'tis Nana, 'tis it not?" Nana opened her eyes. In front of her, blocking the morning light, stood a tall, elderly brother of sorrow. Nana smiled in recognition.
Whoa, Brother Witsery, well met. Have you rotated back to Cascada again?"
"Indeed, as you see," Brother Witsery smiled. "They posted me in the far west for many years, and then I took a turn in the Middle Duchies. Now I'm back here for a spell."
"How did the Duchies fare? How does Cascada strike you after so many years away?"
"Ah, I don't know, Nana. Morale has dropped everywhere and the folk are frightened. The people have no hope. The dukes lay on such high taxes even when crops come scant. I've seen horrible things, things that shouldn't have happened. Tenants driven off their farms, guards behaving like brutes, a sister of sorrow beaten by a lordling."
"Someone struck a sister? Whatever for?" asked Nana, scandalized.
"She had interceded for a young woman whose father sold her to a lustful merchant to pay his debts. Such things would never be allowed if Katrina or Cressa still ruled. When that ship went down, we lost more than a sovereign. Mercy and decency have fled the realm too. Cascada..." Now, he paused. "Cascada has changed the most."
"Aye, so you feel it too, Witsery." The elderly brother allowed his face to show his concern.
"The tension? As if the whole city is holding its breath? Folk all suspicious of one another and afraid to look a fellow in the eye? Children growing up stunted for lack of good victuals? I tell you frankly, Nana, unless the Princella..."
He broke off from whatever he was about to say and looked around. When he spoke again, he took up a different theme.
"But you, Nana, you have hardly aged at all. Before my eyes is the proud woman who cradled that babe during Cerulea's naming ceremony. Grandest day of my life."
Nana laughed with remembrance and affection.
"Oh, go on, you rogue, full of flattery, as ever. I'm an old woman now, and I've let out my seams so often there is no slack left. Though this morning I do feel spry and strong, and ready to take on any enemies of the throne."
"One mystery solved, at any rate?"
Nana was confused.
"What mystery?"
"At the abbey table last eve, sorrowers talked with reverence about someone who always visited the fountain. They called her the Faithful One. 'Tis you, Nana.
Nana replied, I don't know as there's anything mysterious about me, and I hope I can count on your faithfulness, Witsri.
Nana, he replied with a hint of outrage. Do you have to ask? Hey, have you heard the verse going around?
What verse?
Brother Witsri spoke softly, looking at the fountain, not at Nana.
Though dusty sits the Nagis throne, while tyrants befoul and bluster, though citizens do their yoke bemoan and the fountain's lost its luster, some day the drought shall be broken and the wondrous waters course clean. One dawn the word shall be spoken as the long-lost heir becomes queen.
Oh, me, oh my, tusked Nana as she daubed her eyes with her apron. Well, the faithful wait for that day.
A sister of sorrow interrupted them. Brother Witsri, could you assist us? There's some pilgrims here, quite distraught. The brother squeezed Nana's hands and sped off to his duties. Nana watched him thoughtfully a moment and then turned her attention back to the Nagis fountain. In the turbulent water below her, something caught her eye. She pushed up her sleeve and reached for it. She grasped a beautiful blue feather.
It's a gift. A badge of sorts.
Nana took out one of the pins that affixed her cap on her hair and pinned the blue feather to her collar. She squared her shoulders and set off back to her post in the palace to wait.